Time now for the Border News Roundup. Friday mornings, we get a chance to talk with Marshall Helmberger, editor and publisher of the Timberjates, a newspaper serving northeastern Minnesota. Good morning, Marshall. Thanks for being here.
Well, happy to be here, Heidi.
Well, we're in that Halloween time of year where there's scary movies and lots of sequels. You kind of got a sequel with Towergate going on.
Yeah, we do.
Maybe sequel's not the right word. There's been more than two, I guess. But more things going on with Tower City Council and the former clerk treasurer. Tell us what's been going on.
Yes, well, this is now actually, it's been a couple of weeks ago now because the council finally addressed it here this week, but the event that precipitated their discussion was on October 17th. The city clerk, the new city clerk, and the deputy clerk arrived at City Hall, and turned on their computers and found out they couldn't access any of their computer systems. And the whole system runs on Microsoft Office 365. And they got there, and they couldn't access anything through that software. And it turned out that the software had actually been improperly registered when it was purchased, actually, when the former clerk treasurer purchased it. She had purchased it in her name, which was a violation of the city's charter, and also violated the software licensing agreement because she bought a personal version of the software rather than a business or government version, and so that was an issue. But what she did was she decided to change her password on the program, and she knew when she did it apparently that was going to knock out the city for at least a period of time, which is exactly what happened. They were unable to get into their computers at City Hall for about 5 hours, which blew most of the day. And they finally found out that it was the clerk treasurer, or the former clerk treasurer, when her political ally, the city's ambulance director and fire chief, came into City Hall and was informed of the situation, and he kind of chuckled and said, "Oh, yeah, I knew about that, last night." Apparently the former clerk had informed him of what she was going to do, and so he was well aware of what was going to happen and said nothing about it, and suggested that they contact the clerk treasurer to have her change let them know what the password was to the system so they could get into it. Well, of course, they weren't interested in doing that. They ended up getting a temporary fix with a free trial of a business version of the software, and now at Monday's council meeting, the council approved the purchase of new software, and they've also approved a security audit because they've been concerned for a while, and I think this latest incident kind of confirmed that there are some security risks potentially. I mean, they don't know what other kinds of things the former clerk treasurer might still have in place on that server, so they want to make sure that somebody with knowledge of this goes through everything on that server to make sure there aren't any back doors or other surprises that could be coming in the future. So additional expense and hassle here for as a result of the former clerk treasurer.
Wow. Sounds like your political ally not too savvy, so it wasn't hard to get to the bottom
That's
of it.
That's for sure.
Another story reported on this week, there's a new owner for the Ely Sled Dog Race. What's been happening there?
Well, the Ely Chamber of Commerce has agreed to take that over. That event has been going on for about 10 years, and it's called the Wolf Track Classic. And it draws some big-name mushers to the Ely area, every year, and a lot of spectators. You know, these types of sled dog races are usually pretty popular, and as happens with a lot of these types of events, you have an initial core group, and they over time, they just kind of get burned out, you know, because it's a lot of work to put an event like this on, and sometimes it can be tough to sustain that. Of course, with the Ely Chamber of Commerce, it's a, you know, bigger organization. They've got, you know, paid staff and a lot more capacity, so I think it's more manageable for them to take on an event like this. And then, of course, they've got all the promotional horsepower of the chamber as well. So the thinking is they can, you know, keep this event going. And it, you know, it's in kind of late February, which is, you know, the winter festival in Ely's over, and it's a nice way to kind of get another boost of, you know, influx of people for a weekend, and they usually try to make a weekend event out of it. So I think the thinking here is they want to just keep that going, and it's also important, I think, for Ely's. You know, historically, really, because Ely for many years was the home of the Ely All-American Sled Dog Race, which was a huge event, and it started in 1969 and went through about 1990, and that just drew, you know, many, many hundreds, probably thousands of people, actually, for the weekends, and they used to have, actually bring snow, they'd truck snow into, put it right on Sheridan Street, which is Ely's main drag, and so they'd be racing right up and down Main Street of Ely. That was always a lot of fun. I remember going to some of those back in the day, and you know, it was just crowds of people, and of course, that's good economic development and good you know, economic boost that you get that time of year from activities like that. So I think they want to keep that going, and rightfully so. And I suspect that the chamber will do a real good job of operating that race.
Yeah, now we just got to get enough snow, right?
That's right, and keep it. I mean, that's, yeah. And that was one of the issues, actually, with the Wolf Track Classic. They had a few years there where, you know, we'd have an early meltdown, and they'd had to cancel the race. You know, there were a couple years. And they actually had it originally in, like, early March, and then they moved it to late February just because we'd had a few of those years with an early melt, and that created problems. So I think late February, you know, you're usually pretty much always assured of snow here.
Well, let's talk about another story you've been covering. We heard from you recently about the introduction of elk to northeastern Minnesota. What happened at a recent St. Louis County board meeting? How'd they feel about it?
Yeah, well, they had a meeting at McDavitt Township, which is down south of the Mesabi Range, kind of in the Cotton area, and that's very close to the Cloquet Valley State Forest, which was one of the areas that was identified by a recent study as you know, a likely location for introducing elk into northeastern Minnesota. And actually, they've kind of rated that area about the highest. And the thinking there was that there weren't many farms in that area, and that's probably true sort of east of Highway 53, but as you get west of Highway 53 there, you start getting into quite a bit more agricultural area, and you had some of the farmers from that area came to the county board meeting and said, we don't want this. They're concerned that, you know, the elk could have an impact on their livestock, either by raiding, you know, pasture, or you know, eat from hay bales, things like that, which certainly you know, does happen occasionally in northwestern Minnesota, where we have elk currently. They're also worried about disease like tuberculosis, which there was a outbreak of that in northwestern Minnesota a few years ago, and that was very costly to some of the livestock producers out there, and it wasn't necessarily linked to elk, but they you know, apparently can be a carrier of it, so that's certainly an issue, as is chronic wasting disease, which is another one of those you know, diseases that there's concern about in terms of livestock. So, you know, I think between those issues and then also some concerns that were raised by a representative of the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers, they're also concerned that, you know, if there's a reintroduction of anything, that, you know, there could be folks advocating for reducing logging activity in order to, you know, to try to help whatever it is they're trying to introduce. In this case, I don't think elk would be hurt by logging. They'd probably be helped by logging. So I don't know if that would be an issue, but, you know, I think it's just typical, you know, people are seeing and hearing about something that they're unfamiliar with, and they don't know the ramifications, so they're speaking out and saying, whoa, 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 hold on a second. And it's not really clear that, you know, that the county was will necessarily have any real say in the whole issue, but I think they just wanted to be heard and make sure that the county isn't, you know, trying to push a project like this. And then at this point, it's still theoretical. I mean, you know, they've done some initial surveys. Other surveys have shown that there's quite a bit of popular support in those areas for elk introduction. But, you know, obviously there's going to be some pushback as well. And, you know, this could be years away, even if it was to go forward. I mean, they would still have to find a funding source and a safe population of elk that didn't have diseases that they could then introduce to the area.
That's Marshall Helmberger. This has been the Border News Roundup. You can read and see more at timberjay.com. Marshall, have a great weekend. We'll check in with you next week.
Sounds great. Thanks, Heidi.